Good morning. You want it all? You know, as the song said right there, you know what? If you are broken, I know where you can find relief this morning. I do know that. And that's through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? If you have anything, you know, I'm going to be over in 1 Timothy, the first chapter. I'm going to start with the 10th verse. I'm not going to read all the 10th. I'm going to start with the last part of it and read down to the 12th verse. My wife informed me last week that I didn't tell you where the scripture was at, so I'm going to do that first off this morning. 1 Timothy 1, 10 through 12. I'm going to read it, like I said, the last part of verse 10. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which has committed to my trust. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And I want to say this morning that I am thankful that God entrusted me and called me to be a minister one day. He entrusted me with the word. He entrusted me that I would, you know, that I would give to you sound doctrine. Amen? That's what God has entrusted me. The title of my sermon today is Twice on Sundays. And I'm going to be talking to you this morning about the pastorship. And the pastorship, not only of this church, but I want to talk about pastors in general. And I want to talk to you this morning. Here a few Sundays back, I got into it just a little bit, but I want to hit it this morning. This is a two-part sermon, Lord willing, and I will bring the rest of it tonight. If God grants me the ability and the time to do it tonight, we will do it that way. Let us pray. Fathers, we come, Lord, this morning. I come thanking you this morning for the opportunity, Lord, that, Father, that you have given me to stand behind this desk this morning. I praise you for what you've done in my life. I praise you for what you've done here at this church. I ask you, Father, to continue to work in people's lives and continue to work in their hearts. I pray, Father, that you would open up their hearts this morning. I pray that you would open up my heart and my mind this morning, Lord. And, Father, that, Lord, that this would go out the way that you would want it to. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. This sermon's not meant for me to blow my own horn this morning. I don't intend it to be that. Or for you to feel sorry for me in whatsoever that I am about to preach to you this morning. And I am definitely not directing my sermon at anyone in this church this morning. You know what? Far from the contrary. You know, when God impressed upon me to preach this sermon, and you know what? He talked about this subject this morning. I sat down in front of my computer, and God started dealing with me, and I started putting out stuff and thoughts in my mind that I wanted to put down here this morning on the subject of being a pastor. And the overwhelming thought that come to my mind this morning is, you know what? How privileged and how blessed that I am to be the pastor at Drift Run Church this morning. Do you understand that? I don't say that in no light. I say it meaning it. I truly mean it this morning. I feel that I'm privileged and blessed. What I'm about to say, take it nothing personal. It's nothing personal to no one. So here's the message that I'm about to speak about being a pastor in general, not about me in particular. Have you ever received one of those chain letters in the mail? Have you ever received one of them? You know, probably some of you have. Well, church put one of these on one of their church bulletins here a while back, a chain letter. And what it simply said was a copy and it said a letter, send this letter to six other churches who are tired of their ministers. Then bundle up your pastor and send him to the church at the top of the list. Add your name to the bottom of the list. And by next week, you will receive 16,436 preachers. Surely one of them will fit your need. Have faith in the letter, is what it said. Of course, it was just a tongue-in-cheek kind of deal. You understand what I'm saying. But you know what? If that would happen, I'm hoping one of you would break the chain. I'm hoping that you would. I am saying, you know, preacher's jokes abound, don't they? They abound out there countlessly. My favorite one, is, and I'll tell you this, is and then when people, I say, well, how will you know you were called to preach? Did you wake up one morning having a strong desire for fried chicken? And a need to feel lazy? Or, you know, I like this one. You know what? I really like the hours you keep as a preacher. You know what is it? About 3 to 4 hours a week? You know what? Is that what it is? You only work about 3 hours. Well, yeah, I'll tell you, some of this stuff sounds funny, but some of the stuff people do say sometimes. You understand? I've learned that some people think that a pastor doesn't do very much except preach a couple of times on Sunday and maybe do something for about an hour on Wednesday night. I realize some people believe that. These people are absolutely amazed when they hear that the average time that a preacher spends during the week averages anywhere from 50 to 75 hours a week in their job. And you guess what? You're never off the clock. I'm not telling you this here to feel sorry for me. Do you understand that? I want you to bear, this is not just about me. You know what? The average lifespan of a preacher is 10 years less than the average lifespan of the people that he preaches to. Did you understand that also? If you got a preacher that's worth his salt, he cares enough about the people that, you know what? He cares enough about them. I lose sleep. I really do. Over what I should preach. Over what that I should preach to you people. What you need spiritually. I pray for that. I hope you understand that. Well, some people think that a preacher does nothing. Others feel that their preacher should do everything in the church. After all, they pay his salary. Right? I've actually heard people say that, not here. Don't get me wrong, not here. The next time you hear someone bashing their pastor or your pastor or what he does or doesn't do, have them take what he makes and divide it by 75 hours and tell me what he makes an hour. And then tell me, and then mention to me what they do or they don't do. And ask them if they would work for that. And ask them if they would be on call 24/7. Ask them if they would do it. And tell me what their answer would be. Also, some people like to think of the creative things to say to preachers on the way out the door or their pastor. That was a nice little talk, preacher. You've always managed to find a way to fill up the time, preacher. I don't care what they say. I like your sermons, preacher. If I were known you were going to be good today, I would have invited a neighbor to hear it. And we shouldn't ask you to preach quite so often, preacher. One of the first things that I learned many years ago when I became a preacher and also talking to many of my preacher and my pastor friends is this. That there will always be someone who knows this. What the preacher should be doing and what's better for the church than he knows. There's always somebody that can tell you that. You understand that? We've heard things like this. Preacher, you need to go see so-and-so. They're unhappy and you need to go find out what you did to them. Oh, really? Really? Preachers, is there anything you can do about keeping the services shorter? Anything at all? Preachers, is there anything you can do about sister or brother so-and-so? They either talk too loud, they don't talk loud enough, or they talk way too much. You don't think preachers hear that stuff? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I hope you understand today this is not about you. It's about what a preacher's real calling is about. I hope you understand that, what a pastor's real calling is about. They talk too much, yeah. Preacher, I really don't like the way brother or sister so-and-so teaches. How come someone may lead? I really don't like the way some people lead service either. I really didn't like the guest preacher that you had. I really didn't like the singers that you had. And you know what? And if they're ever back again, don't look for me back at the service end. I have had people literally tell me that. Again, not here. I want you to know that although there is much fun to be had at the expense of the pastor and the preacher, and I also like to joke around with people, just ask Julie. And anybody else, just ask my daughter. I do like to joke around with people sometimes. I really do. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I do not take what God has called me to do. I take it seriously. And I want you to understand that this morning. I take what God has given me the privilege to pastor over, to shepherd over. I take it seriously. I believe pastoring and preaching to be the highest and most important calling on the face of the earth. And I want you to know that. I believe that. I do not take it lightly. Pastoring and preaching is second to none. And I'm not putting anybody else's job down. It's here today. I'm not saying that. But I believe it's second to none if you're called to be a minister of God. I know as a pastor I will be asked to be a counselor. I will be asked to be a peacemaker. A mender of broken hearts. I'll have to take care of situations as they pop up right now. To make snap judgments. I'll be called to do that. And God's Word tells us this in Luke 12:48. But he that knew not and did commit such things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. But for unto whomsoever much is given, get this. I want you to understand this about me. To whomsoever much is given, of him much is required. Do you understand that this morning? If I am called to be a minister of God, which I am, there is much required of me. And to whom man hath committed much, of him they will ask more. So I understand that God has given to me, and that of you folks are going to ask more of me because of that. I understand that. And I am willing to accept that. When I accepted the call of God in my life to preach, I want you to understand I accept that. I've got broad shoulders. I know that. And I accept it. I want to be very clear with you this morning that I'm not preaching this message for recognition of myself. I don't want that. But because God wants you to understand this morning, He wants you to understand the office of being a pastor and a preacher. And I don't care if it's here. I don't care if it's Sandy Bill United Methodist. I don't care if it's the Church of Christ. I don't care where it's at. What's required of a pastor? I want to deal with two things in particular first. I want you to understand something. What is it meant to be called of God to be a preacher? To call to preach, what does it mean? You know what? In all times I've ever heard anybody ask, if you ask Jamie, if you ask me or any other preacher, what it means to be called. You know what is it, Jamie? You just knew, right? You just knew. God dealt with you. He's dealing with you. He's trying to get you to a point where you understand that, you know what? You have been called. Paul said in Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated or called unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called. I didn't go to seminary school. I didn't get a doctorate. I didn't get some degree that told me that I could preach the Word of God. I got on my knees and I fought it as hard as any man would fight anything. I did not want to preach. I did not want to stand up in front of people and tell them what thus saith the Word of God. Because I knew. I knew what I told you earlier, what I would face. And I'll tell you what, I am not one to face things sometimes. I am not. You can ask my wife. I am not. But you know what? God has given me the strength. He has given me what I have today to preach the Word of God as the pastor of Drift Run Church. Amen? Ephesians 4:10-11 tells us that he that descended is the same that has ascended up far above all heavens that he might fulfill all things. And it said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. It's an invitation is what he gave us one day, Jamie. And you know what? If you're willing to call it, you better be willing to take what is coming down the road. It's that God won't force anyone to do anything that they do not want to do. I accepted the calling. Do you understand that? No one forced me to take it. The preachers at 14th Avenue didn't force me to take the calling of God upon my life to preach. As a matter of fact, they told me what I was in for. They told me. Listen. God calls, if He calls, you know what? He is compelling you to work. in the ministry. If you're called to preach, I want to tell you something right now. It's not just a little, it's like this. And you will know that God is calling you to preach. There will be no doubt about it. When an individual is surrendered to God, when an individual is filled with the Spirit of God, the work of the ministry becomes that individual's burning desire. Do you understand that about me? My burning desire is not Drift Run Church. My burning desire is to do the work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I will do that work. And you know what? If it's here, or if it's down the road, or if it's someplace out in Timbuktu, I will do God's work. That's what He's called me to do. That's what He's called Jamie to do. And wherever it may be, you know what? An individual's burning desire, their relationship with God is what consumes them. I love you people. I love you all in here. But my relationship with you does not consume me like my relationship with the God that I serve consumes me. Do you understand that? I hope I'm not being too radical or too off the wall or trying to, you think I'm too mean. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just wanting you to understand. If you got somebody, a pastor, any pastor, they should be consumed with God. They should be consumed. If someone comes to me and tells me that they're being called to preach, the first thing that I will be with them is negative. Do you understand that? And you say, why? Because I want them to be sure of the calling in their heart. I'll tell them every negative thing about it because you know why? I want them to be, if God's calling them, it won't make a bit of difference what I tell them. It won't make a bit of difference because you know why? God's calling them. God's doing. I want to find out if they're in it for the right reason. I want to find that out. I want to see if that's what they're called to be. You know what? They know that they have a burning. Notice what Paul said, the word desire. It was said in 1 Timothy 1. If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Notice the word work. When God calls an individual, He calls them to take oversight of one of His flocks. When God called me, I didn't know that whenever He called me that I would be at Drift Run Church one of these days. I didn't know that. But you know what? He called me and God kept doing it and He brought me to the point where I am today. I was at 14th Avenue and I was up there. I was teaching. I was preaching once in a while. I was thinking to myself, I have it made. I don't have to worry. That's the point. You know what? I was thinking to myself. God started dealing with me. He started dealing with me months before this. And then one time at a wedding, I was at Jeff and Paula's wedding. And you know what? Somebody came to me and said, if I'd be willing to come to this church and preach. I never heard of this church before. Never heard of it before. But I could tell you something. The moment that I walked in this door, it was it, wasn't it? It was it. I don't know how many people was here that first Mother's Day. There may have been 25, 30 people. I can't even remember now. But I knew it was it. Because why? Because you know what? The pastor is called to care for the flock and feed spiritual food. And you know what? I wasn't doing it the way that I should do. God knew that. God kept dealing with me. And brothers and sisters, that's why I'm where I'm at today. Amen. Amen. The pastor's called to do that. We're called to feed the flock, right? We're called to do that with spiritual food. Some will take strong food. Some will take the milk. The pastor has to study the Word. He has to rightly divide the Word. He has to listen to what God and the Spirit is telling him for what is needed for that service. I'm going to tell you something. Not every sermon that I preach is going to be for everybody in this church. Am I right? Does that mean you turn it off and throw it out? No. No. Listen to what I'm saying. It may be for somebody you know. It may be for somebody else down the road that you may come in contact with. But it may be for who you are here this morning. It may be just exactly what you need. I do not know. But I can tell you this. I believe God's Word will not return unto Him void. It touches who it needs to touch. It'll filter to who it needs to go to. As we said this morning, you know what? The Word of God, I can preach it all you want. You can sit back here and you can listen to it, and it may be intended for you. But if you're not taking it in, if you're not letting the Spirit of God deal with you on it, I'm telling you, it'll never do you any good. It'll never do you any good. Have no doubt, brothers. It is work. Have no doubt about this. I want you to understand this. It is work being the pastor of a church. And I want you to understand that. And I'm not saying that again for you to feel sorry for me. Like many a fellow pastor, we consistently pray and worry about the flock that God has given us. What needs to be preached here? What needs to be preached down the road? What needs to be taught here? Who we need to visit? Who we need to give a hug to? Or who or what needs corrected? And I'm sorry, sometimes that has to happen. And I, you know what? Do you think that this man right here wants to sit down with somebody or talk to somebody about something that's going on and try to make it correct? No, I do not. As a matter of fact, I wrongly wanted to put it off on somebody else in the church. This is me. I wrongly wanted to do that. You know whose job that is? That's mine. When it comes to preaching the Word of God and standing up behind this pulpit, this is my pulpit up here, and God is the one who has to direct me with it. Amen. If anyone thinks it's glamorous position, if anyone thinks it's envious of it, man, that looks really easy up there. That looks like I could really do that. Let me tell you something. You better think twice. The thing is, when God puts an individual, or when He puts individuals into the ministry, that person is equipped for that work because God will equip them for it. Did you ever try to do a job you couldn't do? Oh yeah, exactly. You know what I'm talking about. You're equipped. You may have the education. How many of you in here would like? How many in here is a doctor? How would you like to do brain surgery? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I wouldn't want somebody doing brain surgery on me that has not went to the schooling, that has not done it before. Do you understand? So why do we think that we can put preachers in there who are novices? The Bible said we're not supposed to do that. They cannot do that. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, God will equip the person for the job that they are intended to do. And I believe with all that's in me this morning that God has given me a calling to preach His Word. And I'm not bragging. Again, I hope you aren't. I keep saying that, but I want you to understand, it's not what I can't brag on myself. I cannot do that because without Him, I would be nothing. I would be absolutely nothing without God in my life this morning. Now, when it comes to congregational church government, we are all equal in concerning conducting church business in this church. All of you are equal. All of us are equal. I have no more authority than the next member when it comes to that. But brother, and sister, when it comes to matter of church, but when it comes to what is preached up here in this pulpit, what is taught here, God holds Dave Long responsible for that. Listen to Romans 13:70. Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your soul. You got that? As they that give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I'm not supposed to preach to you to put burdens upon your life. I'm supposed to try to help you. But listen to me. Once in a while when the Word of God goes out and you get convicted of it, listen to me. It's not Dave Long putting the burden on you. It's God putting it. And there's only one way to take care of that. And that's to come to Jesus Christ. Get it taken care of. That's the only way to get that burden out of there. The only way. But if it's only if it lines up and it has to line up with the Word of God, I know that. You know that. I don't want to stand up here and preach something to you that does not line up with the Word of God because I still answer for that. I got to answer. You know what? I pray, God, you show me. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you this right now. You're going to have trouble with me if you don't believe in the virgin birth. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that He rose again, and that He sits on the right hand of the Father, if you don't believe that, you're going to have trouble with me. And I'm not saying that to be braggadocious, but I'll tell you what, that is the gospel right there. There's a lot of other hills I'm not going to die on. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of other things that people want to argue about. This preacher's not going to die on those hills. But when it comes to that right there, I'm going to tell you what right there, me and you are going to have trouble if you don't believe that. We're going to have trouble. Because you know what? I know what he done. I read his word. I know what his word says. And you know what? If his word says that he came to this earth, he's the Son of God, he was born of a virgin, he lived on this earth, and praise God, he died on the cross, he rose again after the third day, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. Now argue with me on that. There are people out there who probably try to. I'll tell you what, that's not what it's about. Think of a pastor this way, working the flock. Now imagine, I'm the shepherd of this flock right here. And I'm trying to lead you along a path safely and keep you safe and keep all the sheep safe. And you're telling me, you know what? You can't tell me what to do. We're all equal. And you run out and you go around and then somehow you fall off the cliff. Then guess what? Whose fault is that? Some people will try to blame the shepherd. Some will try. But I'll tell you what, as long as I preach the Word of God to you and preach it in truth and in spirit, listen to me. That's what God wants us to do. That's what He wants us to do. Believe you me, the pastors must guard their hearts against sinful action also. I understand that. I am not above that. I understand that. Guess who he would love to tear down the most right here? He would love to tear me down. You understand that? He'd love to take me down. Why? Because you go for the head. You go for the head. You take the head out, and you know what? There may be people that get discouraged. There may be people that get disheartened. They would turn their backs on what God has for them. I can see it happening. That's why I've got to guard myself also. I'm going to talk tonight. I know it's getting late, about the church's responsibility to the pastor. I'm going to talk about that this evening. And I'd like for you to come back out this evening if you would and hear the rest of this tonight, because I believe it's important. I believe it's important. I hope you understand this morning what I'm trying to say to you. And I hope you understand that I'm not standing up here blowing my horn like I said. That's not it. This is for every pastor that we come in contact with, you know what, that's trying to preach the Word of God and do it right. I want to ask you a question this morning now. And this is, I know we've heard songs about being broken. You know what, you may be here this morning and you may feel a need. You may feel the Spirit tugging at your heart this morning. You may feel God dealing with you this morning about something in your life. I'm going to tell you, right here's the place to get that corrected, right up here. We have an altar up here. We use this altar. If you have a need this morning, come up here this morning. You know what? It doesn't have to be for salvation only. It can be for anything. Don't let that stop you. Don't let Satan get you out of a blessing this morning. Come up here. Let people pray for you. Let's do that this morning.